The story you're about to hear on Love, Lust, Fear is true. Some names, places, and other identifying details may have changed to protect the storyteller. Love, Lust, Fear may contain graphic language and depictions of sensitive situations. Please listen with caution. Next on Love, Lust, Fear.
All I wanted was somebody to just love me unconditionally because I just didn't even feel like I had that at home. I definitely became somebody that would try to find the most broken person and try to fix them. And I definitely just looked for love in all the wrong places. And I happened to come across my neighbor and his family. They literally just lived right across the yard from me.
And it kind of gradually went from them just joking about me being in the family to actually calling me to their daughter to talking about when me and their son get married. The first few months, lots of intensity, but not in a scary way. But within a few months, I noticed just more behaviors. We had not been intimate yet, but he really wanted to be intimate. The first time that we did get together, he actually forced himself on me. And I just saw a switch in him. He was convincing himself that it was consensual. I just know that at that point, that's when I started to realize I needed to put distance between him. He was crying, he was screaming, he kept saying that he was gonna kill himself and that he needed me and that no one else would ever love me like he did. I was gone for a couple years and then we crossed paths again. I decided I was gonna go to the bathroom really quick before we were gonna leave to go to this party. And when I came out, everyone had left. Everyone was gone, and that the people that I had came with, who also drove me there, had left. He then finally spoke, and he was telling me that like he missed me and he loved me and he just wanted to talk to me. And I told him I did not want to talk. And then he would not let me out of that room.
Chanel grew up in a home where safety and trust were scarce. There were no steady role models, no consistent care, and little sense of what a healthy relationship looked like. She endured trauma no child should ever have to face, including sexual abuse. As a teenager, she dated constantly, searching for connection, always drawn to the most broken people, hoping that if she could fix them, she could fix herself. Beneath it all was a deep fear that she was already damaged beyond repair. All she wanted was stability, a family, a mother and father she could rely on. For a time, she thought she had found it with her neighbor and his warm, welcoming family. At first, the relationship and his parents brought her comfort. She shared her trauma with him and felt safe. But over time, his demeanor changed. He became abusive, and she knew she needed to leave. After their breakup, he returned, and the person she had once trusted completely became her captor. Chanel was held, trapped, and repeatedly assaulted by the very person she had once trusted most.
I've literally been looking for Mr. Right since I was like 13 years old. I've always been a hopeless romantic. I just think pretty much like the traditional young girl fantasy, gonna have a prince one day kind of thing going on. My mom, she was married. She actually married my stepdad, but they didn't really have a very intimate relationship. I just saw two people coexisting together. We've pretty much struggled for a long time. And growing up, we rent without a lot. So poverty and food and being housing insecure. I was subjected to sexual abuse and molestation throughout my childhood. Honestly, all I wanted was somebody to just love me unconditionally because I just didn't even feel like I had that at home. A lot of focus was put on my appearance by my mom. My mom has always just assumed someone would just fall in love with me and I would just get married and someone would take care of me. She didn't really put any emphasis on like my education. But with my other siblings, she was. But with me, for some reason, she just didn't see much past that and that it was pretty much all I had to offer. So that's what I felt I had to offer. I just ended up being a really, really angry kid. And I was reckless because I didn't value myself or my safety, unfortunately. I wasn't allowed to date until I was 18. I dated way before then. I think I started dating in the third grade. But for me, it was something that I had to, I guess, just figure out along the way what was a healthy, stable relationship. But I definitely dated a lot. I don't like being alone. I've always been a fixer. I definitely became somebody that would try to find the most broken person and try to fix them. And I definitely just looked for love in all the wrong places. In the 10th grade, I had moved out of state. My parents did this to try to save their marriage. My stepdad cheated on my mom, sold the house, got a new one. It was really hard for me because I was dating somebody and that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with them. And I was heartbroken. When I was 17 years old, within a few months of moving to this new place, I was actually attacked and raped by a stranger. And that kind of set the trajectory of my high school years just all over the place. When that happened, my parents got separated. My stepfather was the breadwinner of the family. He had moved on. My mother wasn't working. So we went without. I was dealing with trauma. It made me angry. And I was just involving in a lot of self-destructive behavior that ended up putting me in a lot of bad situations, unfortunately. I had one person that I dated a lot in high school. We were pretty much just trauma bonded together. He also had a really bad past, like I did myself. We ended up remaining friends. But besides that, I was in another relationship with someone that ended up becoming sexually abusive. By the time I was in the 11th grade, my stepdad was gone. We were avoiding the sheriff because they were trying to foreclose on our home. I had younger siblings at home, and it was just my mom. Something about my mom growing up, we were never really that close. I'd mentioned previously that I have dealt with a lot of sexual abuse. My mom was aware of this abuse. I had made her aware of it, and she just chose not to either get the police involved or have the family not look bad. So a lot of stuff was pushed under the rug. And when this last assault happened and I told her and she tried to get me not to make a police report, she was against it. I went behind her back and I did. And that caused a lot of issues. And she told me that I needed to leave before I graduated high school. I was just going through a lot, just trying to get through the year so I could graduate. And I happened to come across my neighbor who we had mutual friends with. And his family, they literally just lived right across the yard from me. And so it was honestly like a safe space. And then naturally, me and their son, we started dating. And it was really, really nice. It was. I felt loved. He was aware of my trauma. I had told him about being raped prior. And I was just so impressed that he was so loving and wasn't like grossed out by me.
I trusted him, and he had actually confided in me about his trauma. He had actually been sexually abused when he was a child as well. So I felt really safe with him, and we were able to bond with that, and we're able to speak on things that we weren't able to or felt comfortable to do before.
Because believe it or not, once the high school found out about what was going on, I got a lot of negative backlash. People would call me names, act like I was damaged goods. The guy who was dating at the time broke up with me. He blamed me for the incident happening. He said I should have tried harder.
On top of losing my home, not knowing where I'm going to go, trying to graduate high school, dealing with the trauma of being raped, and then being essentially kicked out of my house for reporting it to the police, I just was broken. And this family came along and they loved on me. And, you know, I thought I was in a safe place. Everything was really good. And it kind of gradually went from them just joking about me being in the family to actually calling me to their daughter to talking about when me and their son get married. And it did draw me back a little bit because I'm like, whoa, I don't even know if I ever want to get married. But I know I love this person and I love how these people are making me feel. It was so nice to have a mother figure and a father figure, just all the things that I was looking for. It seemed like this group of people had. Eventually, it went from having hot meals to sleeping over to having my own bedroom. Eventually, when I got off from school, I would just start going straight to their house. I was always welcome. If me and my mom got in a fight, which happened often, his mom would be the first place I would run to. They were my safe space, even away from my own family, because eventually I just stopped going home. I wasn't even going to my house anymore. My mom didn't seem to mind. I think she was just happy that I had somewhere that had running water and electricity and heat. When we first got together, he was extremely sweet. I hate to say it, I think like 2 weeks we were saying, I love you. And honestly, he was my best friend and he was my boyfriend. We would always just play video games together. We both were still very like childlike in that way, where we would just stay up all night talking, playing video games, playing Uno, just telling secrets. It seemed really like innocent and intimate, which was really great. And I honestly do believe that he did love me and that the feelings are real, even though they were fast. I'm a firm believer that it doesn't matter. Don't apologize for how you feel. Feelings are real. So even though I was young and it was fast, it felt real and the feeling was mutual. He acclimated himself into my friend group really, really well. I did think it was kind of weird he didn't have any friends himself, but I also liked that I got to keep them all to myself, essentially. We just fully enmeshed our lives together. We would do holidays. And then we also went to the same high school. So on top of getting to spend the summer together, we would see each other in school. And it was really nice just to have him to confide in and to know that I didn't have any judgment. And anytime I was having like a hard time with something, he never made me feel like I was a burden, which was really refreshing. Because when you feel like your own parents don't love you or care about the bad things that happen to you, it's so refreshing that there's somebody that does. And there's so many times that you don't think that you're, I guess, worthy of love. The first few months, lots of intensity, but not in a scary way. It was welcomed and it was mutual, which is beautiful. But within a few months, I noticed just more behaviors. The very first thing that I saw that took me aback was jealousy, because there was no reason to be jealous. Like, I'm head over heels with you. I spend all of my time with you. I just didn't understand it. But then again, I passed it off as being that he cared so much. It honestly went from 0 to 100 really, really quick. We had not been intimate yet, but he really wanted to be intimate. I has already been sexually active and had been for a while. He had not. So that was something that was important to him. At some point, obviously, I knew like that would we would eventually get together. But the first time that we did get together, he actually forced himself on me. And I just saw a switch in him. But when you think of in a traditional sense of someone assaulting you or being raped, you think of violence or like maybe even a weapon. But I would say he was more like a gentleman rapist. He was convincing himself that it was consensual. He would ask me like if I'm okay. And even though I'm crying and trying to get away and say no, he's telling me it's because he loves me and because he couldn't control himself and that he needed to be with me. And this was extremely confusing because this is someone I am attracted to, that I do feel like I love, but I don't feel physically ready to be with them. I did not have the language for what was happening. I think I just completely disassociated, as I always had in the past when something like that had happened. The fact after this happened, he's asking me, well, what's wrong? Like, didn't you enjoy yourself? Are you okay? I'm sorry if I hurt you. I wasn't trying to hurt you. He's extremely apologetic, telling me that he loved me and that he just wasn't able to control himself. I know I didn't feel good. I know I felt sick to my stomach. But because prior when anything had happened to me, it had been violent. I had never had somebody that loved me or claimed to love me to, I guess, assault me in that way. I just know that at that point, that's when I started to realize I needed to put distance between him. But at the same time, I pretty much lived there. I tried to talk to his mom about it, and it was the same kind of response he had. Oh, well, he really cares about you. And I think that's just his, he's just an affectionate person. And I just kind of felt like everyone was gaslighting me. I was just left really confused. And I honestly just didn't tell anybody about it. I never brought it back up to him. I just knew that was always going to be a possibility and that he was capable of that. We ended up staying together. We did. But that also set the tone of our whole entire relationship from then on. A few weeks after that happened, he could tell that I was uncomfortable and that I didn't want any kind of intimacy at all. Once a certain amount of time passed, about a month or so, we began to, I guess, get closer again. We kind of talked more about things, but then I also realized immediately he began trying to get me to do things that I wasn't comfortable with, just begging me to essentially engage in sexual activities with him. And then I would, and then it got to the point, and this is about I'd say about 4 months into our relationship, where he wasn't even asking anymore. I could just tell by the look in his eyes that he was literally about to just force himself on me. And I just knew the last time that that happened, when he literally chased me through his house and forced himself on me, that I knew I just had to somehow get away. I was getting really close to graduating high school, which meant I was no longer going to be able to stay at my mom's house. I knew that I could just try to have like a brand new beginning is what I was going to try to do. I just was also worried that he wasn't going to let me go. So luckily I had a really good group of friends that supported me, and we made a plan. They were really good about it because he was my neighbor. He lived across the yard from me. There was no getting away from him. We went to the same school. I tried to separate myself from him, and he would approach me in school and push me in a corner, and I was being harassed in school. And I tried to break it off with him over the phone, and he just showed up at my house. His parents were begging me to come back until I was safe. And I had an apartment. At the time, I didn't drive. My mom didn't drive. So it was only very far I could get, but I did work and I saved enough money to leave. I didn't tell anybody where I was going or him. And I was able just to leave the neighborhood and essentially just separate entirely. But we had a lot of mutual friends, so it was hard. But I kept my grounds. I didn't interact with him anymore. The school guidance counselor, I let them know, like, I'm dating this guy. I'm trying to safely separate myself from him. And they're just like, well, there's nothing we can really do. We can't tell him where he can go, where he cannot go. There's police aren't involved. This is just two kids, is how it was handled. So there was no support in that way. I did try to confide in my mom, see if she'd let me stay longer, just so I could figure out a situation, since I did not have any intention of staying with him. She pretty much told me I made my bed. Now I need to lie in it. I had a really good group of friends that supported me and helped me find a new place to live and relocate my whole entire life. But it all had to be done secretly because he was watching everything, unfortunately. When I broke up with him, I had to make sure I was somewhere where he didn't know where I was, because I was scared he would just come and find me and talk me out of it, essentially. So what I did is I went over to my friend's house. He didn't know where she lived. I used her phone and I called him and I told him that I no longer wanted to be with him and that he needed to respect my decision, and that I needed space, and that he was to no longer come by my mother's house anymore, and to just completely leave me alone. And he lost it. He was crying. He was screaming. He kept calling her phone back, just saying that he was going to kill himself and that he needed me and that no one else would ever love me like he did. And by this point, I honestly was just over it. I just wanted to be rid of the whole situation. And he just kept wanting closure. And then he showed up to my mom's house, tried to talk to my mom to see if she could talk to me, reached out to all my friends. Unfortunately, when we were in school, I literally had to run from him because, like I said, he would just trap me in the hallways, corner me, tell me how much he missed me and how I need to just come back home. It was just constant, him just begging me to come back. He showed up at my house. I lived in the first story of our house. And so he could literally just come up to the window, knock on the window, threatening to leave the front of my house until I would come talk to him. And then my mom told me I couldn't stay there because it didn't look good to the neighbors. So I just kind of felt like I had nowhere else to go. So when I finally got out of the neighborhood and moved 20 minutes away, which felt far enough to me, I felt good because he didn't know where I was. But he still tried to contact me through social media. I had to get a new phone number. He asked our mutual friends, but by this time they started to see that it was really unhealthy. I did not want to be with him. So luckily nobody like told him where I was staying or anything like that. We broke up in April, and then by June, I believe I graduated. I ended up graduating high school somehow. Only went like 14 days out of the whole year. It was really hard to get to school when you don't have a car. But I did graduate, and that weekend I moved out. I didn't look back. I was gone for a couple years, and then we crossed paths again. Once I turned 18, I was just off, just trying to experience life. Started partying. I got a little bit into drugs. I did not get any better with my dating. I was working. I felt self-sufficient for the first time. I had control of my life. I didn't have somebody telling me when I had to come home or where I had to be or who I had to be. Or it was just an amazing feeling to actually have control of my own life. I had just moved to the university area of where I was living. So I was living in the suburbs when all this happened, and I just moved to the college town. Wasn't going to college, but the living was cheap, so I went there. So that meant I was still mingling with a lot of people from high school, people who had then went to college, and a lot of people still lived, or their parents still lived in that area. And one weekend, there was this party I really, really wanted to go to. I actually hadn't been back in a while because I don't have a relationship with my mom or anything like that. So I had no reason to go back. But I had a friend who said I could stay at their house. We were going to go to this party together. I was super excited. And then I ran into one of me and this ex-boyfriend's mutual friends. And he had informed me that they were all going to be going to the same party and that maybe I should talk to my ex, get everything sorted out so there won't be any issues at this party. I did not feel good about it, but I felt like I owed him that because I completely just vanished off the face of the earth. I figured we're older now. Let me give some kind of closure. I don't want this to be weird. I just want to go and have fun. So as a group, we actually went over to his house. He was still living at the same place, which is his mom's house. So we went over there and everything was fine. We didn't have to talk about anything. Everyone was laughing. Everyone was able to pick up where we last left off. We were like reminiscing on old times that we hung out as like in a group or just stuff from school. I started to feel so much better about the situation. And then we were all going to get ready to go to the party. I decided I was going to go to the bathroom really quick before we were going to leave to go to this party. And when I came out, everyone had left. Everyone was gone. And that the people that I had came with, who also drove me there, had left. I didn't have a car at the time, so my ride was gone, our mutual friends were gone, and I was just left with just him and me. And I was like, let me just get out of here. I'll just act like everything's fine. And I just needed to focus on getting out. So I told him like, hey, I'm gonna head out. I'll see you at the party. I'm gonna catch a ride with somebody else. And he wasn't saying anything. I was like, okay. So then I proceeded to walk out the front door or attempt to, and he stopped me. And when he stopped me, again, he didn't say anything. I just kept telling him to move. And I already knew that things were going to get really bad. So the first thing I did is I just bolted straight across the house to try to get to the back door, which he beat me to. Then it was kind of just going back and forth between the back of the house and the front of the house. And eventually I ran up the stairs and he followed me. I, at this point, was trying to lock myself in a room, was about to jump out of a two-story window, but I just wasn't able to get there fast enough. When I was in the restroom, I was like, okay, is there anything I can use as a weapon? Like, I knew there was a weapon, but I don't want to touch a gun. So at this point, I was like, okay, maybe we can go in the kitchen. At this point, I knew I don't care if there's an opportunity. I'm going to try to take it. I didn't have a phone at this time. I really did not have much. I was just an 18-year-old that had everything she owned in a backpack. I was essentially stranded, and he bust down the door. And I told him that I was leaving, that I'm not staying here, that he needs to get away from me, that I'm not interested in him, that I do not want anything like this. He then finally spoke, and he was telling me that like he missed me and he loved me and he just wanted to talk to me. And I told him I did not want to talk. And then he would not let me out of that room. And then, unfortunately, after that, he forced himself on me. After he assaulted me, he kind of just tried to talk to me as if nothing had happened, catch up. He could see that I was visibly upset. And he just kept asking, like, what's wrong? Aren't you having a good time? Why are you so upset? This is a joyous time where we're back together. We're hanging out. He's like, come to the garage. Like, let's smoke. Come to the garage. And the second we go in the garage, he's telling me, like, don't even think about going out that door. And I'm just like, I wasn't. And he's just like, well, don't think about trying anything. And I'm not. Like, I'm here. We're hanging out. And just the whole time, I'm just trying to play cool. He's trying to get me to drink more. He's trying to get me to take pills with him, which I did pretend to do because I knew if I actually did take them, I would become incapacitated. And then who knows what would happen. So I had to keep my wits about me, you know, pretend to drink, pretend to do drugs, all that stuff. And then at the same time, just tried to be hyper-focused on figuring out how I'm going to get out of there. He had the house to himself. I already knew his mom wasn't going to be home the next day that evening, so I knew we wouldn't be interrupted. My mom didn't know where I was. My friends didn't know where I was. So all I kept thinking about is if something happened to me, nobody's going to know what happened to me or where I'm at, which was really scary. Later that night, he actually had continued to assault me. And then, you know, he'd be like, hey, let's play video games. Let's do this. Eventually, as the drugs took effect, we were just laying there. I tried to get up a couple times and he would just wrap his arms around me like in a bear hug with his arms and his legs. Like he wasn't going to let me go. So slipping out was not an easy task. I had to literally wait until he was dead asleep, which that wasn't until like 4:30 in the morning. So I was literally there from 9 o'clock at night till about 4:30 in the morning when I was actually able to get out of his room. And like I said, from there, I knew he had a gun. I didn't want him to have access to it. So I hid it in his parents' room and I crept down the stairs and I snuck out the back door and I just ran as fast as I could. I just kept thinking he was going to be behind me, but he wasn't. I made it back to my mom's house safely, called a friend and had them come pick me up. I just knew I couldn't be in reach for him. It was terrifying, but I still did not disclose exactly what had happened until the next day. The next day, obviously I was gone. He knew things had gone awry. His friends were asking how the evening went. And I just didn't think anybody was going to believe me. And I didn't think the police were going to believe me. I didn't think anyone was going to believe me because he was an ex-boyfriend and we had such an intense relationship. I feel like that people would have thought that it was just consensual and I regretted it the next day or something. And with my past, with reporting stuff to the police and it not going anywhere, all I could do is just, I guess, pretend that it didn't happen, but at the same time, actively try to stay safe. The very next day, he found out that night where I was at, and he showed up at my friend's house, who happened to be a male, and tried to fight him. This person had just got out of the hospital for breaking their neck in a car accident. So it was an extremely dangerous situation, and I was no longer allowed to stay there either because it was a danger. He's trying to figure out where I am. He's trying to get in contact with me. He's reaching out to my friends. Our mutual friends reach out to me, tell me that he's going to kill himself. And I mean, at this point, I don't even care. I'm just like, just do it. Just get away from me. And I was like, but somebody needs to be with him, but it's not going to be me. I'm separating entirely. I'm getting out of this situation. And I was really scared. I found out that next day that he broke into an unhoused or an unoccupied home, took some medication and attempted to end his life. The police found him the next day. He was charged with breaking and entering and a couple other felonies. I guess he was breaking into cars at night. I'm assuming that the drugs were involved in that. I don't know. Luckily for that, after that, he went to jail and I didn't have to see him anymore, which was really, really nice. For the first couple of days, I didn't let anybody know where I was at because I was in fear that they might tell him. And I was just scared and I wasn't ready to confront that or to tell anybody what happened. But I was just on high alert and like people would make jokes like, oh, watch out. Her ex-boyfriend's crazy. He's obsessed with her and kind of just like laugh about it like that. But I didn't want anyone to know how serious it was because every time someone did find out how serious it was, they would push me away. No one wants to be around somebody when there's this big guy trying to fight everybody just because they have a relationship with me, whether it's a friend or associate or anything. He was just so angry and just everyone was just so scared. So I was isolated and left alone and tried to hope that he would just forget about me possibly, but that didn't happen. He just continued to harass me. I hadn't figured out where I was going to relocate next. And during that time, I actually met somebody else, again, through another mutual friend. We were at a mutual party. And then within, I would just say, just a few weeks, we started dating. I went from one bad relationship into another intense relationship. I felt like the only way I felt protected was to be in a relationship with somebody that could protect me. And then he just ended up being my stalker for the last 13 years. We broke up. And during that time, I was at a Halloween party and I ended up being date raped. And that's actually how my eldest daughter was conceived. My daughter's biological father, who took advantage of me at that Halloween party, ended up living in my home across the street from that stalker. I let him live there. We were not dating. We were staying in separate rooms. We were just essentially just co-parenting. I would go out sometimes when his mom would have the child and I would hang out with our friends. At first, it was just kind of like an escapism. It was like, oh, there's times I can get away and have this really fun life and don't have to worry about anything. I was a new mom. And then I met my husband. We've been married now for like 11 years. We've had another daughter. From the very beginning, I told him, my husband, I was just like, look, I'm a mess. I have a lot of trauma. I have a lot of baggage. You do not want anything to do with this, but I love spending time with you. And that was me for the first time ever trying to put boundaries up. Because I just like, I can't take anymore. And now I have a child. I was just like, so just trust me. You don't want anything to do with this. You think I'm great. I'm not. And from the very beginning, he has always seen my potential and my value. And I don't know why or where it came from. I really don't. I don't know why he chose me. I still to this day don't get it. I guess I was able just to accept the love that I deserve for the first time ever, because for the first time ever, somebody was seeing me for who I am, but not needing something from me. My husband, he was established. He didn't need anything from me. He just wanted to be with me, and that was enough. There wasn't any drama. He didn't care about my past. I didn't care about his past. We were both working and, you know, we were going to move into a place together. And the same thing happened. He was into my friend group. We all ended up living together. This is the first time in my life I've let someone worthy actually come in and love me and treat me the way that I deserve to be treated and show me how to love and to expect more from life and to really believe in myself. He was the first person in my life to believe in me. It should be your parents, but it wasn't. It was my husband. That just went so far for me. It helped me. I went from feeling like I was trapped as a 17-year-old me for like the last decade to actually feeling my age and my maturity. All the trauma really did stunt my maturity. And it wasn't until I met him and was able to live a normal life and function like a normal adult. He has helped me in more ways than he'll ever give himself credit for.
I asked Chanel how much her idea of a perfect family or an instant family influenced her choices and attraction to partners.
And I think you're absolutely right. Because even with my husband now, one of the things I love so much about him is that he's a family man, that he's a great friend. He's a great son. He's a great husband. He's a great father. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I never put those parallels together. But yeah, it's like an instant family, essentially. I guess subconsciously, that's what I wanted. And they were able to fulfill that for me. And the familial bonds were so, I don't want to say like unknown to me, but it was so nice to see what a family was really supposed to be like.
I also wanted to know more about her hesitation to seek support based on some of her early traumatic experiences.
I just didn't think anybody was going to believe me. I didn't think the police were going to believe me. I didn't think anyone was going to believe me because he was an ex-boyfriend and we had such an intense relationship. I feel like that people would have thought that it was just consensual and I regretted it the next day or something. And with my past, with reporting stuff to the police and it not going anywhere, I just kind of disassociate and be numb for a little bit because I just wasn't ready to deal with that. All I could do is just, I guess, pretend that it didn't happen, but at the same time, actively try to stay safe.
I asked her about her struggle with self-blame and how, as a survivor, she has psychologically processed these situations.
For some reason, for the longest time, blamed myself. I'm just like, why did I go back? Why did I give this person so many chances? Why did I let this person? It took a really long time to, one, realize that it was an abusive situation, and two, to realize that it's never anyone's fault except for the rapist, except for the person that's the abuser. It's never anyone else's fault, including the people who left me there I don't think they knew that that was his intent. I blamed a lot of other people before I put the blame on him. There was zero tension before that incident happened. And honestly, the situation didn't even need words. Like, I could just tell by his eyes, just like they were that the first time when he assaulted me. It's cliche, people say that someone's eyes go black and you don't see the person in them. Like, I literally felt like I was looking into nothing, which felt so weird because that was somebody that I had cared for so much. The second he told me that I wasn't going anywhere, I immediately just knew I needed to do whatever it took to stay alive.
And finally, I asked her about approaching conversations with her own children about safety, boundaries, and consent.
When I talked to my mom a couple years ago about the situation that I'd been abused, I'd gone to her, you haven't done anything. And her response is, well, you were acting crazy. You were being so self-destructive. You were putting yourself in harm's way. You were doing things that you shouldn't do. And why would I believe you? And then now as an adult, you know, I can be like, well, that's actually just a super common reaction to those things, like being self-destructive, you know, blaming, like that's all normal. I pretty much have tried my hardest to do the exact opposite of what my mother was to me. I don't want my children just to value themselves based on their looks. I want them to know that there's more to offer. And I'm sure to tell them that all the time, that they are so much more than just the bodies they possess. I also am really big on autonomy. I let my children know, like, they are their own people. They are not extensions of me. We don't own anybody. Even when my kids are just, you know, joking around, like, oh, that's my best friend, I'm quick to be like, no, we don't own anyone. So I try to just give them a good sense of self. My daughter now is 12. I watch Lifetime movies with them. I try to bring up certain conversations like, hey, so you guys do know that if this ever happens, that's not okay. And again, they're like 11 and 12, but I need them to be comfortable. And like, even as soon as they became verbal, like, I made sure they knew what a penis was, what a vagina was, no pet names. Most of the time when people go to court for that kind of stuff, which was the situation for me, is when a child's not given the proper name or they seem confused. So many people get away with those kind of crimes. And I'm just was like, no, that's not going to be my children. They're going to be educated. They're going to be self-aware. And they're also going to know that they are loved and they don't ever have to go look for it somewhere else. If they want it, that's fine, but they don't ever need it to feel whole. And that's just one thing I just try to hammer home to them constantly.
Chanel didn't grow up wanting chaos. She wanted family. But her early life was shaped by upheaval she didn't choose. For years, she was pushed through relentless trials, learning resilience along the way. Everything changed when she met her husband. For the first time, love arrived without conditions. Consistent, grounding, and real. Through that love, she found the courage to heal, to confront her past, and to believe she was worthy of peace. Now as a mother, her mission is to ensure her children do not face the same adversities, teaching them self-worth, privacy, and autonomy. She focuses on creating an environment where they know they are more than just their appearances. Equipping them with the knowledge and confidence is her armor against the world they will face, an assurance that they will own their narratives, and never need to search for validation as she once did. Until next time, I'm Jake Deptula, and this is Love, Lust, Fear. Every guest featured on Love, Lust, Fear selects a charity or organization to share. Please check the show notes on this episode for more details. If you or someone you know is being abused by a partner, there is help available. The National Domestic Violence Hotline provides essential tools and support to help survivors of domestic violence. Just call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or you can text START to 88788. If you'd like to be a guest on Love, Lust, Fear and share your personal dating and relationship story, you can email us at lovelustfearpod@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at lovelustfearpod. Disclaimer, the information shared on this podcast should not be considered as professional advice or a substitute for seeking professional advice.